Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 83 for July 10th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, two methods, email oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 64 weeks in a row, heavy set.
Brand new Iron Man.
I'm going to keep saying brand new. I don't give a shit. Kebbo Trek.
Howdy.
And we've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, there he is. All right. Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Transformers Age of Extinction is already China's biggest film of all time. AMC movie theaters will spend $600 million to make seats more comfy. Kevin Smith says the Weinsteins passed on Clerks 3, reveals plans for a Tusk spinoff. Snowpiercer coming to VOD Friday, and why that's great news. Transformers producer says no G.I. Joe crossover is planned yet. And Mark Wahlberg going to be the new $6 million man. Heavy set, what are we doing this week?
I think we should all take our seats in the brand spanking new, more comfortable AMC theater seats.
Wall Street Journal reports that AMC Entertainment Holdings is planning a major remodel that will cost upwards of $600 million and bring the fully reclining chairs to 1,800 of nearly 5,000 auditoriums nationwide. And not only just any old reclining chairs, these will be Lazy Boy type seats. The article goes on to describe how just changing it in one of the theaters brought attendance from up to 50% to 80%. Also mentioned they're going to more of a model of kind of like a VIP experience, where myself and Kebbo Trek also went to VIP cinema recently. Beautiful seats, bringing the food to you. You know, it's charging a bit more of a premium for better service. And I think in some markets where you're not going to have that massive influx of people, I think this is going to be more of a draw. I think it's a good idea. Have you said, what do you think?
It makes me wish there was an AMC close to me, because I think it's quite far away. Closest thing to me is I got a Cinemark Tinseltown. And one thing that they've done very similar to this, I know that they have one theater now that's, or at least maybe two theaters now that are XD. And I watched 22 Jump Street in an XD theater. It wasn't advertised that, it was just more or less they needed that kind of big theater. And I love the how we've just evolved with seats, because they were leather. They reclined back a little bit. I mean, they weren't the Lazy Boy. And I would love to have something like that. I'd even love to have one that brings food to you. And I know there are ones out there. This is the evolution of movie going that needs to happen, because, I mean, they're losing money in some places, but there's ways that they can get that money back that can make it better. I mean, there's a lot of people like myself that we do dinner in a movie. It's a very classic thing, but it's something that we like to do. But normally we have to go someplace and then go to the movies. If there's a way to combine the two, that's something that more places need to do. It's a time saver.
No, I agree. And this VIP cinema that I went to also offers alcoholic beverages as well as full meals. So, and we're not talking like nachos and hot dogs, but actually full meals that you would go to a restaurant and eat. You know, I think it's really changing at the times. Like you said, they do have that big, massive, you know, kind of cram everybody in experience as well, and kind of the downtown bigger locations. But for other locations, you really need to stand out, do something different. It's 2014. And I do believe people will pay the premium. So I think they're going more that premium line. I think it's a good idea. I mean, ultimately, the people who will pay for this will be ticket buyers. But I believe, and I have no issue with paying a little more to get that premium experience. Let's throw this to the panel. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys on this. And one of the things, I don't know, that I think is interesting is that by having a higher price, you're kind of not weeding out the trash, but like you're creating a more you're creating a more exclusive kind of thing that people are going to be willing to pay for, so that they're, you know, because there'll be people with their phones or talking, or generally you'll have younger people that are gonna probably not gonna pay this kind of money, whether it be, because I think at the one we go to, it's what, $20 a movie?
Yeah, 18 to 20 bucks.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, even if it's 18 plus, you're probably not going to get a lot of 18-year-olds going. So you're kind of paying for a bit of that exclusivity. And I think it's a great idea. Not only for that, it makes a movie a bit more of an event.
Especially for the bigger movies. It's a great idea. Yeah. All right, let's switch to Transformers now. Age of Extinction is already China's biggest film of all time. The Hollywood Reporter informs us that Transformers Age of Extinction has not only gone off to a smashing start in China, but it's become China's highest grossing film of all time. Of all time, people. The movie's been out for just 2 weeks and has already totaled $222.74 million, surpassing $221 million gross by Avatar in the region. A couple of reasons the article mentions, but I would also agree with, is the timing. I think the fact that they're releasing it on the same time as the American release, you're going to have a lot less piracy. And we all know China loves its piracy. So, you know, releasing it at the same time gets moviegoers to go right away, and the ones who don't want to wait, who are big fans of Mark Wahlberg and the Transformers series. Also, there's two very prominent actors, big in China, that are showcased in this film as well. So that certainly doesn't hurt. And I believe some of the just the backstory also located in China as well for the movie. So a couple of reasons why it's doing well. But I think over time, you know, China is going to become the powerhouse, and it's going to surpass this American juggernaut. We're slowly seeing it. Of course, there's a lot more restrictions and rules there. And, you know, these big budget blockbusters or these 3D movies do well because they don't, you know, go after specific subjects that the Chinese might not like. We all know they censor a lot of stuff. So, I mean, in the next 5 or 10 years, I could definitely see China surpassing the U.S. and we get more kind of pro-China, anti-American films. Who knows? Let's throw it to the panel. Would like to comment?
I'll comment first. I find them very intelligent. People can bitch up Michael Bay all they want, but in the end, this was a calculated move. What was really smart is that he actually even made China pay for the money to make the film, because he put the last third of the film takes place entirely in both Shanghai and Hong Kong. And by finding that, their studio took less of a risk, and it was calculated move that he actually was planning, he was forward thinking. It's not doing as well in the States. The biggest movie was the second one, not the third. So might as well switch things to China and make the money there. And it paid off. So I'm really glad that this is the headline we're seeing today. It means that in the end, their move was a smart one.
But it also means that there is profit to be made from China.
Yeah, a bunch. Yes.
If you don't alienate the market, they will spend the dollars.
Well, look, in all things, Coca-Cola has been making these coffee drinks that we don't get here in North America. They only distribute in China because China is a market that actually wants those drinks. So companies have been very smart to actually notice the needs. In the case of products, we don't get them here, so we won't notice. But in the case of a film that the whole world can see, we can definitely see how it's starting to get this Asian influence.
Let's change gears a little bit. Talk about a movie was recently mentioned last week that I didn't know anything about. It's called Snowpiercer. I saw the trailer, thought it was very interesting. It's more of this kind of, I believe it's these people have to stay on a train. It's in perpetual motion, goes around the world once a year. And it's kind of ranked by class. So like the poor people are at the back of the train, and now they're kind of trying to take over and take over the rich and take the train over. So interesting story concept. I really liked the trailer. Didn't get a lot of press, especially in the U.S. And from what I heard, the Weinsteins actually wanted to kind of adapt it or change it to be more America friendly, if you will. People kind of crapped on that, and now they're going to release, or they have released an uncut version U.S. to limited theaters. It's done okay. It's done about a million. But it will be released on VOD July 11th. I love the evolution of this. We mentioned this in the Future of Movies podcast. If you want to go back and check it on oldschoolmovies.net, we talk about just all this kind of new technology and how VOD could revolutionize the industry. I think it does have its place for these kind of smaller movies. I mean, even, you know, Kevin Smith stuff that has an audience that will pay to see it, that you can release it digitally and not be affected theater-wise. I don't think it's really got a place for blockbusters right now, but for these kind of things, I think it's a great idea. Panel,
I have a few questions for you. Where's this movie? You said it was not very targeted towards the Americans. Who made this movie? Is it American made? Is it a foreign film?
Yeah, Bong Joon-ho.
Okay, so it's an Asian movie.
But it looks like there's British actors.
Okay, and is it? I'm guessing it's like takes place in alternate reality, like in
futuristic
or like dystopian type of thing. Okay, cool. Sounds interesting. Yeah.
What do you guys? But more importantly, what do you guys think about the kind of the VOD scene? So, do you think it's going to slowly immerse as kind of the standard? Do you see a day where we see blockbusters being released with VOD at the same time?
I see. It depends. VOD. Do you pay the same amount as you pay for a ticket at the movies?
Say $10.
Okay, well then, yeah, I guess, yeah, you could definitely see something being released there. Also, I believe studios make more money off VOD than the cinema. Is that correct?
That, I don't know. I mean, per user, your costs are going to be less because you don't have to. First of all, you're making 100% of the distribution.
That's right. That's what
you're
saying.
Cutting out movie theaters, yeah, exactly. Which I'm sure they fucking hate.
They hate, yeah, but who? Yeah, yeah. But they make. And then, I mean, obviously, they might lose because, I don't know, let's say you're watching with three people. Who knows? But the point is, I think it'll just be another outlet, another way for you to watch the film. Several movies are coming out where at the movies the same weekend as they are on VOD. It's happened a bit last year, more with more independent films or limited releases like this one. But the way I see it, I think it'll just be another way. Like you said, the movie theater is changing. It'll either be like, you'll go for an experience, so you'll go for like the more expensive stuff, the comfier seats, or you'll stay at home. Either case, the market will look at the trends and try to capitalize on them. And I think that the moment they see that they are making more money on VOD, they will definitely put blockbusters on VOD.
Kev or Heavy, do you guys think there will come a time in the near future where blockbusters will be released on VOD and theaters the same day?
No.
Yeah.
One thing I was surprised that you guys didn't mention was piracy, because the moment something's going to be on a VOD, it's going to be pirated like crazy.
Same thing. Doesn't matter. People pirate movie theaters.
No,
yeah, they do.
It's different when you're getting a shaky, like a shaky cam kind of thing.
You can see some pretty good screener. Like I've seen
good stuff too.
Good quality stuff, yeah, come out, especially, yeah, in China and stuff like that. You can very quickly get good quality stuff released in the theater.
But I don't think it would be quality of a VOD.
Well, I mean, listen, piracy is going to be there whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
Mass distribution,
sorry,
and distribution as quickly as possible, I think, can trump that. We've seen it in China with Transformers. So it's something you cannot control. They've tried to control it for decades, whether they tried to stop you from taping VHS or cassettes or whatever the media is going to be. It's going to be pirated. And you have to just accept that it's going to be there.
Oh, it's going to be pirated, but I think if you're putting stuff on VOD, the amount of piracy is going to go through the roof.
No, I think if you release it where it's affordable enough and you make it convenient enough on a set-top box that's not a computer, yes, there are people who know how to do it, but the general public does not know in mass how to copy stuff. And we've seen that with BitTorrent, where it became the norm because they're suing people, and piracy became kind of the competitor because you tried too much to block your intellectual property. And now you see the music industry is doing a complete 180 and offering everything without being copy protected. So there's two ways to deal with it. Either try to go against the grain. It's not going to work. You just go with the grain and accept it as a potential loss, in my opinion. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. Who has seen Transformers?
Oh, I have. I have.
Let's get your thoughts, man.
Okay. This is what I hated in the other movies. It'll be really quick. I hated freaking Shia LaBeouf running around doing nothing. I hate it. We didn't see the Transformers very much. The action was choppy. Editing was terrible. There were shitty jokes everywhere. Bumby was pissing on stuff. We saw dogs humping. I just wanted a big, dumb, fun action film where I could see the Transformers, I could see the action, and I could have fun with it. And this film delivered on that. There was a bunch of action. The Transformers are very distinguishable one from the other. The takes are a bit longer. You can see the action happening very well. The editing, it was really brought up a notch. And Shia LaBeouf is gone. Instead, we've got the kick-ass Mark Wahlberg, who works really well as an action hero. And you can actually, it's more believable seeing him take on, you know, be part of this crazy world than Shia LaBeouf ever was. And he's far less annoying. So if people hated the other films for the same reasons I hated them, they will like this film. If they hated them because they didn't like big, dumb action movies, then this one will not sway you any further. However, for what it is and what it gives me, I give this film a 8 Optimus Prime, like, ramming a giant sword through someone's chest out of 10.
Thank you, Will. Let's get into the weekend box office. All right, Kembo Trek, break down the numbers for us this week.
No surprise, coming in first place for a second week in a row is Transformers Age of Extinction, which added $37 million, giving it a slightly disappointing domestic gross of $175 million, but obviously it's doing massive bank on the foreign market, adding $412 million, giving it just under $600 million. So needless to say, we will be seeing more Transformers. Coming in second place is every single Melissa McCarthy movie, Tammy, with $21.5 million, giving it a total of $33 million. I mean, yeah, it's Melissa McCarthy, so...
Yeah, but I mean, she's now gotten a format where if you keep the budget low enough, you're going to make a small profit on these films.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She definitely has her niche market. It's just... ugh. Third place is 22 Jump Street, adding $9 million, giving it a... just over $159 million on a $50 million budget. Obviously, the studio's happy there. It's not much of a foreign market earner, but who cares? Coming in fourth place is Deliver Us From Evil. Well, my...
Amen. Sorry.
Adding just under $10 million, giving it a $15 million total. Coming in fifth place is How to Train Your Dragon 2, adding just under $9
million. Which is a metaphor for my cock.
Stop it. We are mature here. I'm surprised it has a total of $140 million on a $145 million budget. I'm surprised it's that high. Coming in sixth place is something I've never heard of, Earth to Echo, which added about $8 million, giving it a total of $13.5 million. Coming in at seventh place is Maleficent, adding $6.1 million, giving it a total of $214 million. In eighth place is Jersey Boys, adding another $5 million, giving it a total of $36 million. Little disappointed with that, to be honest, but...
I don't see it having any mass market appeal whatsoever.
Oh, no, it's completely niche, but I was surprised the budget was so high. I figured this would be more of a...
cast, maybe?
But I don't think... Do they have anyone big? Yeah, they have Walken, but that's pretty much it, I think. Okay. Anyway, coming in at ninth is Think Like a Man 2, adding just under $5 million, giving it a total of $57 million, and rounding out the top 10... is the Tom Cruise sci-fi action flick Edge of Tomorrow, which made $3.6 million, giving it a pretty disappointing $91 million on the domestic market.
Though the foreign market's saving it, though. It's not going to lose, at least.
No, yeah, definitely.
All right, thank you very much, Kembo Trek. Upcoming movies for this week, we have one big one, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
We don't mean any harm!
It was a virus created by scientists in a lab. You can't blame the apes.
Who the hell else am I gonna blame?
We need to give them a chance.
Welcome to animals.
crazy. I've seen things. I've seen the way they are. They want what we want, to survive.
Caesar, home. This is your home. Your home.
Are you aware they are going to turn on you? They don't want a war.
No! Don't shoot!
Caesar, you have to go.
Go where?
Brains! Together! Strong!
War, it's not what you want. There must be another way.
War has already begun.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, second to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, released recently. CGI looks pretty good in the trailer. I haven't seen the first one. In my opinion, I don't know. Maybe I'd have to see the first one first, but it just doesn't really intrigue me. So it's going to be a nay for me.
I don't know why she's not in the trailer. You didn't see her in the trailer. We don't see Dawn in the trailer. Where is she? The girl, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm wondering. I guess we'll see her in the final movie.
Was that an attempt at a joke? Wow. Okay. Please stop talking. Heavy set. Let's get your thoughts, Yerne.
My thoughts are Will should stick to the cock talk and not the humor of the show. Leave that to the professionals. This is a yay for me. I've seen the prequel, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and I liked how it was, and because they're not starting like with the normal Planet of the Apes movie. They're actually starting with the prequels, and I like this kind of build because I'm not all that familiar with the original series, and I like how we're starting here and we're building.
Dirty ape!
Yeah, it's actually something I'm actually probably might be the only one who says yay.
Kebo Trek, yay or nay?
I still have to watch the first one. We're going to try to do it this week, so it'll be a yay for me.
Will, let's get your thoughts.
Yay for me. The first one, people said it was great. It's fine. I still found the CG to look kind of fake, but they look like they stepped up their game in this one, and it looks... I'm really curious to see how it's going to play out, so it's going to be... It's a yay for me.
All right, awesome. Let's close the show. Get your plugs and final thoughts.
Normal, just www.kfabesports.com. Trying to get some new stuff up, but I'm going through a lot of computer freaking problems right now, but we're still getting certain things up there. Stable Wars, you know, we're always looking for new members and all that kind of goodness.
All right, thank you, Heavy Set. Kebo Trek, plugs, final thoughts.
I'm actually going to plug a mutual friend of ours website.
I saw this coming.
And that site is ellaphotography.ca. If you want a great photographer and an equally great person, check out her site. She does really great work.
Yeah, she's pretty kick-ass. And she's a listener to the show. Hello, Ella. Will, what's going on, comic books, FTW?
Have any of you ever wanted to know, like, get into Spider-Man, but not know where to start? Or other characters, maybe Batman, who knows? Well,
why don't you start from the beginning? Ha ha ha!
No, don't. I would really, anybody listening, I would not recommend picking up the first ish. It's not.
Was that the one where he spanks Robin's ass and shit like that?
In the olden times, yeah, they would sleep in like the same bed and stuff. Yeah.
Oh God!
This was written for like 10-year-olds. It was like, I don't know, it was a different time, so I would not. Anyways, the point is, if you feel alienated, there's like 70+ years of comics to read. Don't worry about it. We got you covered. I wrote a bunch of articles. They're on there now at www.comicbooksftw.com, and you'll get all the articles where you can know how to get into those characters, and you'll see it's very easy, and you'll have a lot of fun with it. There's also videos, there's reviews, and there's interviews with cosplay professionals. So check it out when you can.
I said, don't forget www.cocktalk.com.
Cocktalk.
Okay, guys, I'll tell you one thing. Can you know that $1 million arm with that guy? When I first saw it, yeah. I thought they were going to make a remake of the $6 million man. And I was like, man, they're going to use like, they're using John Hamm. Are they going to give him like a $6 million cock? Anyways, that was the first time I saw it. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Begin rant.
Dear Hunger Games, The Wolverine, Expendables, Battle LA, Elysium, and every other mother f***ing shaky cam movie for which I have dropped $12 at the theater. Plus another ticket, plus a couple of hot dogs, and a couple of Cokes, and three or four pizzas. It's like 100 bones to go see a Fargan movie. Newsflash! No one likes shaky cam. It's not artsy. It does not convey the urgency and madness of a fight scene. If I want to know what it's like to be in a fight, I'll go to an Occupy event wearing a three-piece and passing out Young Republican literature. I go to action movies to escape and to watch people do things I would never see in real life. The key phrase there, watch people do things, which I can't do if your camera crew are actually extras from Jacob's Ladder. This is a tripod. Here, you can have it. I'll buy you one. I'll buy you two. I don't care. I just want to watch a fight scene. Elysium Shaky Cam is both so bad and so overused, it actually took me out of an otherwise really cool movie that stars one of my favorite actors, and it completely destroyed my willing suspension of disbelief. Instead of losing myself in the movie, I stared at the screen mouthing, why? Why? There's no reason for it. Hire a freaking fight choreographer. Buy a Steadicam. Stop it already. Just stop it. Go home, Shaky Cam. You're drunk.
End rant.